Conflict management in marriage. Last week we did the part one of conflict management in marriage, and we came to the conclusion that in every marriage there is conflict. Welcome to Mary's Table Talk. My name is Mary Egbude. Today we are going to be looking at the part two of conflict management in marriage. Last week we were able to come to the conclusion that in every marriage there is conflict, and the way we handle this conflict can either build our marriages or mar our marriages. So today we are going to be looking, last week we looked at the causes of conflict in marriage. We looked at different causes of conflict in the home and the marriage relationship. Today we are going to be looking at how we can prevent this conflict from growing into divorce or separation. So how to prevent conflict. We're going to be looking at how to prevent conflict. Prevention is better than cure. People say this all the time. You can see that in the book of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. Therefore, a couple should try as much as possible to prevent a conflict, because like tsunami, it is dangerous and all parties are affected. If care is not taken, all parties are affected when it comes to conflicts in marriage. The man is affected, the woman is affected, and the children also, they are affected. We're going to be looking at various ways to prevent conflicts. Number one, accept your spouse as he or she is. Nobody is perfect. Accept your spouse as he or she is. For the mere fact that you are already married and you are into that relationship, whatever comes your way, look for a way to manage it and accept your spouse. Then we're also going to look at forgiveness. Forgive easily and totally. You know, people say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. But I'm advising us that we should forgive and ask God to give us the grace to also forget. Even though I know it's not easy from time to time, those thoughts will come back. But marriage is all about forgiveness. Because if you're into a marriage relationship and you don't know how to forgive, that marriage cannot work. Then open communication channels. Open communication channels. Keep on talking in love without the intention of hurting your spouse. Try to talk in love. Try to talk in love. There should be no resentment. There should be no anger. Try to talk in love. Let there be open communication. Discuss everything with your spouse. Feel free to open up to your partner. Then talk with courtesy. Talk with courtesy. Even though this person is your partner, is your husband or your wife, look for a way to talk with courtesy. Talk in a way, in a gentle tone. Respect that person's opinion. Try as much as you can not to shout at that person or make that person feel inferior. Talk with courtesy. Then do not be too busy. Do not be too big to say I'm sorry. This has led to so many breakups and divorce in marriage. People don't just want to say I'm sorry. Pride and ego won't just let people say I'm sorry. I usually say that romance is not I'm sorry. When you offend somebody, please say sorry. Instead of trying to romance your way into the person's heart again, try and say sorry. Then number six, never go to bed without resolving your differences. This is very, very vital. We can say that in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26. Don't ever go to bed without resolving your differences. Try as much as you can to resolve your differences. Even though you are wrong and you go ahead to your partner and apologize just to let peace reign. At a much later time, you can call that person and begin to talk, say your mind and tell that person how he or she offended you. Then be contented with your spouse. Be contented with your spouse. Some of us, because after going to marriage, we start regretting why we married this man, why we married this woman, I would have married my ex. And who told you that your ex would have been better? Who told you that your ex is doing well wherever he or she is? So learn to always accept your spouse. Learn to be contented with your partner. Then number eight, think and act positively towards your spouse. Think and act positively towards your spouse. Some people treat their spouses like maids. They treat them like a nobody. They don't respect them, both in secret and in public. Treat your spouse with respect. Treat your spouse act positively towards your spouse. Try and show courtesy. Try and show love. This can prevent a lot of conflict in the home. Then we're going to be looking at effects of conflict in marriage. We just looked at how to prevent conflict. Let's look at effects of conflict in marriage. What are some of the effects that we can encounter when there is conflict in marriage? It can destroy our prayer life. When you are in conflict, when you are not in talking terms with your partner, when you are keeping malice, when you are not happy, you can destroy your prayer life. You find it difficult to pray. You find it difficult to communicate with God. And without praying or communicating with God, you notice that you know that these things can actually destroy the home or cause a separation. Number two, it hinders answers to prayers. When you are in, there's a conflict in marriage, it can hinder answers to prayers. It can hinder answers to your prayers because you are not in good time, because your mind is not stable, because you are not happy, because there is no joy in your heart, and because there's unforgiveness can hinder answers to prayers. Number three, it can give the devil room to operate. When there is malice, when there is a tense atmosphere, it can give the devil room to operate and to cause more havoc and harm in that home. Number four, it can destroy a marriage. When there's conflict in marriage, the marriage can be destroyed. The marriage can be destroyed. Simply put, the marriage can be destroyed. Then number five, it affects children negatively. When there's conflict in marriage, the children are affected. You hear this popular adage that says, when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. The children are greatly affected. And this is one of the major reasons why we should consider to avoid conflicts in our homes. Then number six, it destroys family communication. You know, when there's conflict, we don't talk to each other, we don't reason together anymore. The Bible says two cannot work together except they agree. It can destroy family communication. A lot of projects which we have done together, a lot of things we have put us together to do, we can no longer do them because of conflict. So it destroys family communication. Then number seven, it retards the progress of the family. When there is conflict, there's retardment, there's stagnancy in the home, there's backwardness, it can retard the family's progress. Then number eight, it affects health adversely, resulting in physical and mental illnesses. When there's conflict in marriage, it can affect the health of both partners. It can affect the health of both partners, resulting in physical and mental illnesses. It does not glorify God, darkening one's path. When there is conflict in any home, God's name is not glorified in that home. Because already the prayer altar would have been affected. God's name is not glorified in that home. Then number 10, it is not a good example. It lays a bad foundation for children. When there's conflict in any home, it lays a bad foundation for the children. It makes the children to feel as if it's a normal thing to have conflicts, a normal thing to quarrel, normal thing to keep malice, normal thing to back at each other. So it gives a very bad example to the children. Then it can debar one from making heaven. Can debar one from making heaven. When there is conflict, there is unforgiveness, there is resentment, there is bitterness, it can even make one from, it can stop one from making heaven. Then number 12, it encourages strife, fighting, bickering, and so on. It can encourage strife, it can encourage fighting, it can encourage bickering, and so on in a home. That's the reason why conflict should be greatly and seriously avoided in every home. We just looked at the effects of conflicts in a marriage. We looked at the effects of conflicts in a marriage. Then we're going to be looking at conflict boosters. What are those things that make conflict to come up in the first place? What are those things that brings up conflict in any home? We should be able to look at this so that we can be able to avoid them no matter how immediately they come and we cite them. We should be able to know that this is wrong and we should not allow this to get any stronger. Then the following things to encourage conflict and hinder is early resolution. Conflict boosters. Wrong association with those that do not encourage good marriages. Some of us have bad friends. We have bad colleagues. We have people that tell us all negative things about our marriages. Some of them, their marriage is not working. They give you bad ideas, create bad mindset in you, give you things that tell you things that will not allow your marriage to work or your marriage to be strong. These are we're looking at conflict boosters, the things that can trigger conflicts in our homes. Then wrong mentality and conception about love, about sex, about marriage, and about the opposite sex. You know, wrong mentality. When we have wrong mentality about things, it can also boost conflicts. It can also make conflicts to trigger. You know, wrong mentality about love, about sex, about marriage, and about the opposite sex. These things can trigger conflicts in the home. Then we're also looking at the third party influence. The third party influence. Allowing in-laws and families, friends, and so on to come in between you and your partner. This can also trigger conflict. Try as much as you can to resolve your conflicts on your own. If you need to see a third party, go to the church, look for a spiritual leader that can help you. Then first and foremost, bring the problem to God before you even go to anybody at all. Take the problem to God. The Spirit of God can direct you on who to meet and who to help you to resolve such conflicts. Then we also have drunkenness. Number four, drunkenness is another conflict booster. It can trigger conflicts a lot in homes and in marriages. When the person is drunk, the person do not know what he or she is doing. The person might not know what is going on. The person might not behave well. The person might start having different type of attitude and terrible behaviors. This can trigger conflicts. Then we have pride, anger, and stubbornness. Lack of spirit of meekness and humility. This can also trigger conflicts in home. When a man is proud, cannot say sorry to his wife. A woman cannot say sorry to the husband. We have somebody have anger issues, stubbornness, not taking correction, not wanting to be corrected in any way, lack of the spirit of meekness and humility. This person is not humble, does not want to submit. This can also trigger conflicts in homes. Then we have perfectionist spirit, expecting things to be done in your own way, self-centeredness. These people are perfectionist spirit. They want things to be done perfectly. Nobody should make mistake where they are. And there is no such person on earth. Everybody can make mistake. When you arrange your house, you just want that thing to be there. You don't want any debt. You don't want this. You don't want that. You keep on giving rules and regulations here and there. This can also trigger conflicts. Then we have the spirit of vengeance. The spirit of vengeance. People just want to revenge. They don't. No matter how you beg them, no matter how you apologize, no matter how you tell them to forgive, they don't just want to forgive. They just want to revenge. Then we have number eight: regret ever marrying your spouse or cursing the day you met. This is a terrible thing to do and a terrible thing to even think about. You've married that person. Stop regretting why you married that person and cursing that day that you met that person. Then thought of divorce. If things do not work out well, thinking of divorce by already having that mindset and that thinking will trigger a lot of conflicts already, because you have made up your mind that you cannot longer serve this relationship. You don't longer want this relationship. So because you are just there enduring, this can also trigger conflicts. Criticism, covetousness, and comparison. When you compare yourself to your friends, when you criticize a lot, covetousness and comparison, this can also trigger conflicts in marriage. This can trigger conflicts in marriage. Then we have bad parenting, allowing children to come between you and your spouse. Allowing your children to come between you and your spouse. Bad parenting. Bad parenting can also cause and trigger conflicts. Some children can bring up trouble between partners. Infidelity, unfaithfulness. This is one of the most terrible thing that can boost conflicts in any home: unfaithfulness, infidelity, listening to gossip and rumor. You know, somebody come to gossip about your husband to you, somebody gossip about your wife to you, without you finding out or investigating and getting a clearer picture of that rumor, you begin to react and you begin to show different attitudes concerning that. Then suspicion and lack of trust do lead to this also. Suspecting every move of your partner, thinking he's sleeping with everything in skirt that is close to him. This might not be true. Don't live on suspicion. Even if you suspect anything, begin to pray about it. Let the Spirit of God reveal things to you clearly so that you don't trigger conflicts in your home. Then bad communication, using abusive words, cutting remarks, lying, not ready to listen, silent treatment. These are things that can trigger conflicts in any home. They should be seriously avoided. Acting on wrong information, not finding out the truth, acting on rumor can also trigger conflict. Then we also have failure to forgive, keeping record of offense or let the hurt heal. You don't want that hurt to heal. You just want to remember it every now and then. You want to talk about it as much as you can. You just want to dwell on it. This can trigger conflicts. Then lack of genuine conversion. When you are not genuinely born again and you are just pretending to go to church, but the things they preach in church does not get into you. This can also trigger conflict. Backsliding. When you are backsliding, you no longer attend services, you don't go to church anymore, you don't study the word, you don't see anything good about your partner, you are gradually backsliding, going to drinking, hanging out with wrong friends. This can trigger conflicts. The wrong foundation about marriage, lack of proper understanding of the opposite sex and your spouse. This can also boost conflicts in any marriage. this podcast has taken longer than usual. Normally, I wouldn't want my podcast to be more than 10 or 11 minutes, but now we are into 15 minutes. I just want to thank you again for listening to this, and please share with friends. We are going to have a part 3 of this, how to put conflict to rest. We are going to have a part 3 of this conflict management next week. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for listening. And please, as much as you listen, always act on these things. And God will help us and build our homes for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you once again. I'll be expecting, I'll see you again in my next podcast next week. God bless you.